Thank you for downloading the Tech Central podcast. My name is Duncan MacLeod. We're not doing the usual interview format in this episode, but rather bringing you a very important teleconference press call with SAP executive board member Adair Fox-Martin, who will be jetting into South Africa on Friday to deal with the scandal that has erupted around the German software maker's local office. In the call, Fox-Martin set out SAP's position, its plan to conduct both an internal investigation and to commission an international and curiously unnamed law firm to do an external audit. In case you missed the background to the story, SAP on Thursday placed four members of its South African management team on administrative leave and promised a wide-ranging probe into allegations of bribery and corruption involving the Guptas. The multinational law firm will, quote, vigorously review contracts awarded by SAP South Africa, end quote, the company said. The reaction by SAP marks a distinct shift from the position it had taken earlier when SAP Africa MD Brett Parker lashed out at local media outlets for publishing the allegations and threatening, quote, various possible actions, end quote. The genesis of all this was a report published on the Daily Maverick and on News 24 on Tuesday and written by investigative journalism outfits Amabungani and Scorpio, in which it is alleged that the software maker agreed to pay a 10% sales commission to a company controlled by the Guptas to secure a contract worth at least 100 million rand from state-owned Transnet. According to the report, the terms suggested, quote, a thinly disguised kickback arrangement, end quote. The press conference was a fiery affair, and we thought it particularly important to publish the full audio of the conference for the public record.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for your time today. I'm aware that maybe not very many of you are hugely familiar with SAP, so let me just put a couple of sentences into context. We're a 45-year-old company founded by passionate people who believed that there was an opportunity through software not only to help businesses and the world run better, but also to improve people's lives. And that mission is very, very core to what SAP holds dear as an organization. Of course, we've seen the claims in the media, and we are taking these claims very, very seriously. We're initiating a thorough and a vigorous investigation. This investigation will be conducted with full integrity and full transparency. We're conducting the investigation both internally with our own forensic compliance team and externally using an independent third party. While this investigation is ongoing, we have put four members of the management team in South Africa on administrative leave. Many of you may or may not be aware of the technology industry. We certainly have a long value chain in this sector, which involves many partners and many sellers. However, we have a zero tolerance for lack of compliance when it comes to dealing with our customers and with our partners. It is fully our intention that once this investigation is concluded, we will share the results publicly. Now today, our forensic team are already on the ground, and we have begun the internal review. The data that we are reviewing is the data that is available in the SAP system. And we also have access to the PCs, et cetera, of the employees who are currently on administrative leave. Please remember that we have access to the data that is in the SAP system, and we are working to uncover what we can from that data in as efficient and as effective a method as possible. We, as an executive board in SAP, are very committed to getting to the bottom of this issue. We feel we owe this to our employees, to our customers, to our partners, and to the broader community in South Africa and Africa. So I'll stop at that point. Hand back to Nicola.
All right, thank you, Adair. Thanks for that brief and concise intro. So who wants to kick it off with a question?
Yes, hi. It's Maren Smith. It's Karen Smith with Sim24 in Cape Town. I would like to know, so who's running the show while these four members are suspended?
Hi, thank you for your question. So we have created an interim MD position with a long-standing SAP employee. We will announce an interim COO tomorrow. We have support for finance and also for our legal function coming in from our German operation into our South African business.
Okay. Hi, it's Graham Hodgkin here from The Times. Thanks so much for this briefing. I just wanted to have a couple of questions. First of all, I wanted to know from SAP whether any law enforcement agency has had this matter reported to. Has SAP taken upon itself to report, be it the German authorities, US authorities, or local South African authorities, and if not, why not? And then another question that I've got, in terms of the Transnet deal, how did SAP, was it Transnet which approached SAP via CAD House, or was it SAP which went searching for business and found it through CAD House to end that business through the Transnet deal?
Thank you for both of your questions. I think both of them I could only possibly answer once we've concluded our review process and understand what happened when, where, and with whom.
Hi, it's Stephen Quirtis here from Eyewitness News at Radio 702. Thanks for the briefing. Can I ask, there was a statement released yesterday by the South African management that they almost threatened action against the people who had published these reports, Mabungani and Bailey Maverick. Now the people who issued that statement have been suspended. Can I ask what happened between that first statement and then the statement overnight that they've been suspended or put on administrative leave, to use your phrase?
Thank you. First of all, SAP continues to reject the allegation that was placed in the press. As I've mentioned already, the zero tolerance policy for non-compliance within the company. As an executive board, we felt it was very important for us to get to the bottom of this. And should these allegations prove to be true, then we will disclose this as part of the disclosure process at the end of our review process. I will tell you that it is our standard practice when we have a compliance issue, to have the local team review those issues in the first instance and then move it to the global team. So start local and then go global. We often find that this is in the best interest of the local team and the business to bring in our global experts.
Well, if I could just follow up, if you'll allow me. Did the bosses in Europe, so I presume the board at your level, know the South African team were going to put out that first statement before they released it? Hello? Did you hear my question?
I did. Look, SAP continues to reject the allegations, and we will reserve comment until we've concluded our thorough review.
So you can't answer whether you knew in advance that statement was coming?
No.
Sorry, it's Sam Sol from Mabungani. If I could just ask, how can you reject the allegations when you say you haven't done an investigation? And you don't know what the full facts or details are. That seems to be putting the cart before the horse.
Thank you, Sam. We are working on the basis that our employees are on administrative leave, that until this investigation is concluded, that they are innocent, and that once the investigation is concluded, as I've mentioned already, we will disclose the outcome of that investigation and then make the appropriate decision.
I was wondering if perhaps you know if you're under the radar of U.S. authorities as we speak. Are you being investigated by the Justice Department or any other related entity in the U.S.?
Not that we are aware of at this time. One after another, guys.
Graham Huskin here again from the Times. I wonder if you could just talk to us about how these commissioning service fees work? You know, how is a percentage determined? If you could walk us through percentage of the contract and what informs the amount, and, you know, in terms of how third parties are used, how do you determine what third party to use? What due diligence process do you go through when you look at third parties?
Okay, look, I know I'm going to sound like a little bit like a broken record, and I apologize for that, but, you know, in this particular case, until we have been through our review process, we're not in a position to answer that. From a general deal perspective, you know, there is a due diligence process that is applied to every transaction that SAP participates in.
And in terms of you didn't answer the second quarter. Sorry, I just wanted to find out about the percentage on the commissioning fee. How is the service commissioning fee worked out? You know, in on what basis is a commissioning fee determined?
Look, every deal has different sets of circumstances, and until, as I said, we've been through the who, what, why, when of this particular one, I'm not in a position to answer that question.
It's Duncan McLeod here from Tech Central. If I could jump in. What is the name of the law firm that SAP has appointed to conduct the investigation, and who from that firm will be heading up that team? And what is the specific instruction that you've given to the firm?
Okay, at this point in time, we're not revealing the name of the organization that we have retained to do this work with us, nor any of the details of their investigation.
Sarah Fateh here again from CNBC Africa. A quick one. Is SAP still doing business with this Gupta Link company? And just how far is the Gupta machinery, if you will, can it still be closely aligned with SAP?
Yeah, I'm not going to comment on that question.
Sorry, Susan Comrie from Amabungani. If I can just jump in with a question. The statement that you put out wasn't entirely clear in terms of you say that you know, there's going to be a multinational law firm which will vigorously review contracts awarded by SAP South Africa. Now, is it just this one contract that was awarded, or are a number of contracts being reviewed, or in fact are all contracts being reviewed that have been awarded by SAP South Africa? I mean, the reason that I ask is that, you know, this is not the only contract, as we know from previous reports, that have been, you know, whether it's been a Gupta-linked company or a Gupta-owned company being involved with SAP. It's also not the only occasion where there have been very serious allegations of kickbacks being paid in exchange for contracts.
Thank you. Look, as I mentioned, it's a thorough review, priority on this issue that's been raised, but we will be reviewing the entire business of SAP South Africa as part of this process.
Sorry, Graham Hoskin here again. Could you tell us in terms of, I mean, SAP does a lot of work with South African state-owned entities and companies, and it's done this for years. Why would a third party now suddenly be needed for such a random project?
Again, Gavin, that's probably one of the cores of the investigation, and I will be able to answer your question once we've been through that process.
Hi, it's Stephen Curtis again from 702. I'm just a little curious as to why you won't reveal the name of the organization that you've retained to do this work, to do the investigation. I mean, normally in these cases, certainly in the South African context, I realize it may be different for you, but for us, it's usually a law firm or an accountancy firm. It's usually a KPMG or someone like that. Is it a firm like that?
It's a global law firm, global forensic provider, and at this point in time, we're not revealing their name.
Could you clarify the scope of Fox Martin's temporary, I guess, takeover of South Africa? What is his primary reach here?
Oh, wait, can you repeat that question, please? We didn't quite get that.
Fox Martin, him coming to South Africa. What is the scope of his mandate, if you will?
Hi, actually, I'm Adair Fox-Martin, and he is a she, and I'm an executive board member at SAP. I oversee the regions of Greater China, EMEA, and MEE, and therefore...
Particularly in South Africa. What is your scope here? What are you coming here to do? Is this fire control, or are you coming to really get to the heart of the problem?
This issue doesn't just impact SAP as a company. It also impacts our employees, our customers, and our partners. So part of my coming is also to spend time with our employees and to ensure that our employees are clear on our process here and understand, you know, the role of the executive board in terms of supporting them through this process.
And what are some of the questions and comments that you're hearing from employees and customers alike?
Actually, you know, I've spoken to some customers today, and we've conducted some all-hands sessions with employees long distance. I'll actually be in South Africa tomorrow. I would say that our stance in terms of, you know, the vigorous and transparent investigation that we are undergoing, it has been received very positively by our employees, who are very invested in what SAP represents both globally and in particular in South Africa, and by our customers, who are pleased to see this stance from the SAP Executive Board.
Adair, I don't think you answered my question. I asked what they are asking SAP. What do they want to know from you with regards to this investigation?
I haven't had any specific questions yet on that topic.
Adair, it's Sam here again from Amabungani. You're saying it's going to be a vigorous and transparent investigation, yet you won't even tell us who is actually going to conduct this investigation. You haven't really given us a reason why not. And if I understand you correctly, you're not even willing to disclose the terms of reference that have been given to the external investigators. Is that correct? If that's so, how can we have any confidence that this is going to be, you know, a thoroughgoing bona fide investigation and not something that is aimed at damage control?
But not revealing the name is actually at the third party's request. And I can only reiterate what I said earlier on. We will conduct this in a fully transparent way, in a way that matches the integrity that which we operate and wish to operate our business. And again, I will reiterate that once the investigation is concluded, we will disclose the outcome of that investigation.
Yes, but what about the term of reference?
What was that? Sorry.
What about the terms of reference? You're not willing to disclose the terms of reference that have been given to the investigators, whoever they may be.
No.
Graham Hutkin here from the Times again. Adair, we just wanted to find out, have you spoken to Mr. Brett Barker, the head of staff here, and got an explanation from him as to the goings on that he had with Cad House, with various other Gupta linked companies, as well as the chief financial officer, the COO? And also, can you give us an idea of what their explanation is? And you said four people have been put on administrative leave. Who are those four?
We're not publicly naming the SAP employees who have been put on administrative leave. And in terms of speaking to those employees, that will be all part of this process.
Okay. So have you spoken to them yet?
We have not spoken to them yet. I personally have not spoken to them yet.
That's part of the review team's work, so just FYI. Nicola,
okay,
yes.
So that's that. Okay. And tell me, if it's determined that there were shenanigans and maladministration and malpractice going on, will that, for securing that deal with Transfer, they obviously would have got hefty bonuses, will they be expected to pay those bonuses back?
So once the investigation concludes and we understand whether or not the allegations are true or false, then the appropriate course of action will be followed by SAP.
I can't say what it's supposed to be.
No. not at this point in time until we get further through the investigation process.
Adair, maybe you can explain to us what your understanding is, what SAP's understanding is of what the allegations are.
Essentially, from an SAP perspective, we've read the articles, and we will just have a look at the various different points raised in that article.
If I could just jump
in the studio again.
Sorry, what was that?
I say you're going to look at the articles and address the points raised from the articles, but you're not going to do anything more. You're not going to review possible emails or anything like that that have been sent.
As I've mentioned earlier, this is an investigation where we have already got a forensic team on the ground. That forensic team are reviewing the data sets that are available to SAP. That is essentially the data sets that exist in our system, which include elements like email. And based on the information that we find in our system, then that will give us a view of the behavior and the process of this transaction.
If I can just jump in, it's Susan Conley again from Amazon Learning. As you said, you're taking the article that we and our colleagues wrote as a sort of launching off point for the investigation. There are, however, other allegations and other articles that have been written. I mean, would we be able to sort of send questions through to SAP to say, look, will you also look at this as part of your investigation? Will you be willing to accept sort of tips or pointers from journalists who've been writing about these things on the ground?
So let me just confirm again. We are looking holistically at the who, what, why, when, and holistically at SAP's business in South Africa as a part of this review process.
That'll cover all of those.
Everything, not just your articles, everything, also internal stuff, just to be clear.
Sam here, two questions. Firstly, have you or will you be approaching Transnet, the customer, and CADHouse, the agent, for their cooperation in your investigation? That's the first question. And the second question is, this is surely not the first red flag that has been raised in this regard. Amar Bongani published an article last year about another Gupta Link company that was included in a deal which then was postponed and not signed with Transnet, so some of the same players involved. Did that not raise any red flags with SAP at the time? Why has it taken these particular revelations to produce this response from you?
Again, I know I can sense your frustration with me, but I do have to tell you that a lot of what you're asking me is really part of our review process. As a global company, there are very standard compliance processes that we apply to all transactions. Those processes have at various different points in time red flags that can emerge in that process. And again, we have to look at this situation and understand, you know, where those flags were, if they were raised, and then what was done about them. And that is all part of the review process that we are in right now.
Graham again from the Times, if there is wrongdoing found, will you be reporting this to South African, US, and German authorities, including financial authorities, from the South African Reserve Bank to the equivalent in Europe and in the US for this to be criminally dealt with?
Once we've concluded our investigation, we will make public and disclose the results of our investigation.
Now, I understand that you said you'd make your results public, but my question is, if you find wrongdoing, will you be reporting it to financial and law enforcement authorities for this to be dealt with? I mean, this thing sort of points directly to possible corruption. I'm not saying there is corruption, but I'm saying it points to possible corruption and very serious corruption. Will you then be cooperating and working with law enforcement and financial enforcement authorities globally?
I cannot make any comment on that question.
Hello, it's Karen Smith at Fin24 again. Just want to ask you, can you say why this international law firm chose or would prefer not to be named? And secondly, once the results are finalized and you make it known, do they also not then want to be their name be made known, only the results of the investigation?
We're just in the process of finalizing the ability to release that name, and we will get that to you as soon as possible. There's obviously processes in legal firms that we're timing ourselves against, and as soon as we can release that name, we will do so.
Are you confident in your internal processes and your internal review processes? I mean, do you think that they, given the allegations, which are very serious, do you think that they will, your internal processes to review this will hold water and will be shown to be independent and above board?
You're right. We are taking this extremely seriously. We operate, as you know, in 180 countries across the world, varying markets of varying different stages of evolution in their use of IT and IT-based systems. We are constantly reviewing our compliance processes. We are constantly reviewing our systems. We are constantly reviewing our procedures. We are constantly enabling and educating our employees on our code of conduct, on the systems, and on our compliance policies. And can I say that we are 100% perfect? No. Human beings are human beings. Therefore, we constantly evolve and improve. And if, as a result of this particular investigation, we find that there were safeguards that should have been in our systems, our processes, or our policies that were not there, then we will, again, continue to evolve and improve and add those safeguards to our processes.
But my question was whether you're confident in this internal process review that you're doing now, that you and this...
I am supremely confident as an executive board member. I have oversight of this particular review process, and I am supremely confident that we will do a thorough and vigorous investigation.
Thank you.
Hey, guys, you have three more minutes.
Can I ask you to set out a timeline for us? By when can we expect a report back, some kind of interim report? What is the time frame for this investigation?
It's actually hard to define a timeline at this point in time. I think you would appreciate that a thorough investigation needs time, but please understand that our team are working with urgency. We are working with a sense of priority, and we have put some of our best global resources onto this investigation.
One quick follow-up. Are you going to be willing to answer further questions about other allegations concerning SAP in the interim?
Yeah, of course, if and when they arrive.
Good. And I just wanted to find out, sorry, Graham here again from the Times. In terms of when a deal is sealed here, or a tender is sealed by SAP, how does the reporting structure work back to Europe and the US? I mean, what are you informed of the whole deal, how the deal was set out, or does Europe and US SAP instruct how the deal should be set out? And would you be looking at potential SAP officials in Europe and the US being involved in these shenanigans?
As an Irish woman, it's nice to hear you use the word shenanigans, but here we have a situation where we have got a global approval process, and there's a very clear DOA, delegation of authority, in our global policy. That DOA defines whether a transaction is approved in a geography, in a region, or globally. So there's a very clear global approval policy.
So could you just clarify that for a deal worth more than 100 million rand, which was the figure involved in this particular commission agreement, what would be the approval level for something like that?
That will be part of this review.
No, that's a global policy issue. It's not. I'm asking that you've said there are established levels.
That's why we're having a holistic review, because we're challenging everything. And guys, I'm sorry we're out of time. Thanks everybody for a colorful and lively discussion. I hope this helped you a little bit. We will be in touch soon again, and definitely when we have more to say or when you have more questions. So thank you, Adair, for your time, and thanks everybody for joining.